God, as we have read it together, and especially in the light of Nehemiah 4, verse 6. So we'll read that again. There we read, "So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are assembled here, are listening in via live feed this morning to receive some more pertinent information regarding that large construction work in which every one of us is involved and in which every one of us should be engaged. As you know, it's quite a construction. For centuries, people have been working on it, and it still isn't finished yet. The blueprint of this building took also quite a few years to complete, approximately 1,400 years. It's not an ordinary blueprint. It does not only give the details of the work, but it also gives a detailed account of the workers involved. In fact, it is a very personal blueprint. Now, mind you, the workers are important only because of their work. It tells of their activity at the construction site, how the master builder, by means of appointed servants, makes sure that the people work hard and work well in the right frame of mind, making sure that the pressures from the outside as well from the inside will not cause slowdowns, work stoppages, or strikes. Overseers are appointed to make sure that the work continues. After all, it is the most important project under the sun, the most important project that exists on earth. Once it is finished, then there won't be any others. Since the work is still not finished yet, overseers are still needed today. Overseers, like the brothers over there, they are supposed to help us understand that blueprint so that we keep on working. And we better listen to them, because the master builder, he wants things done orderly. And he is very particular in this matter. That's why he has appointed them to be our overseers. And that gives them special authority. And therefore we are called to listen to their instruction, which is to be in harmony with that blueprint. And we must heed their call to work. Now mind you, they in turn are called to listen to the questions and comments of those who read that blueprint along with them, so that together, as overseers and mature laborers, the work may continue in perfect harmony. And beloved, now the question is, that comes to us, whether we are working on the scaffolds or whether we are aimlessly wandering around about on that construction site. Are we always ready to help build the walls of Zion, help build the church? Is the reason for our presence here, our presence at home listening in, to be instructed, to be motivated and stimulated in order to become more effective co-workers of Jesus Christ in building his holy Catholic Church? Do we realize, beloved, that we have been made members of this communion in order to work, in order to build the church? Do we all realize that we are a tool in the hand of the Lord Jesus to gather, defend, and preserve his church? That each one of us is called to be a cooperative and constructive laborer at the construction site until the job is done, until the church is complete, until that great multitude is there from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. Do we realize that this world continues only because that gathering of that great multitude is not yet finished and therefore must still continue? There is still work to be done. The day is not yet over. The master builder has not called it a day yet. The trumpet has not been blown. And therefore, let us get on with the job. And in order that we may become better equipped and know what we are about, let us derive instruction from that blueprint before us, and this time from Nehemiah 4. Let us listen to its message under the theme of the building of Jerusalem's walls must continue. And we note the power of the Lord in view of the past, in view of the present, and with a view to the future of the church. The theme, the building of Jerusalem's walls must continue. And we note the power of the Lord in view of the past, in view of the present, and with a view to the future of the Holy Catholic Church of Christ. Brothers and sisters, both old and young, the Lord builds the walls of Jerusalem under Nehemiah. He has prepared for himself a man who is able to give good leadership in the restoration of Jerusalem's walls in this reformation of his people. About a century after the liberation from Babylon, some 15 years after the reformation under Ezra, and with his coming, or rather through his preaching, the church of the Lord had become once again a faith, a work communion. Everyone gets busy, from the high priest down to all levels of society. People from all walks of life, old and young, including those daughters of Shallum, as mentioned in the previous chapter, verse 12. Everyone gets busy, with few exceptions, notably those leaders from Tekoa, also mentioned in the previous chapter. Everyone gets involved in the building, rebuilding of Jerusalem's walls and gates. It is, in every way, a communion of saints at work. After everything has been said, the work divided, the time to work has begun. And so they built the wall. After so many years, finally, proof of the power of the Lord in bringing true repentance among the people, repentance followed up by the deed, by good works. The people of God began to listen again to the word of God concerning his city, in contrast to the past. For years they had ignored the word of God, ignored his promises concerning Jerusalem. They had been satisfied with the restoration of the temple service. That had been difficult enough. But now they are alerted by the preaching of Nehemiah. The people wake up and begin to realize their duty regarding the temple city. For Jerusalem, as you know, is not just any city, but it is the city of God, the city which he had chosen as a special dwelling place. And therefore in that city were the founts of salvation. The preaching of Nehemiah made the people realize this again, brought them to faith, hope, and love concerning the city of God. And thus we read, so we built the wall. In earlier times, the people did not want to rise above the difficulties involved. There had been a beginning made with the work, but every time it got stagnated, came to a stop. If you read the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, you notice how soon and how often the people gave up, unwilling to persevere. But now the heart of the people underwent a change. We read, the people had a mind to work with loving devotion they begin to rebuild the walls of the church city. They break with their guilty past of working without the Lord, without a heart for a service in temple and city building. And this is proof, beloved, of God's gracious power working in their hearts, in their minds. That's the wonder of God's grace, of that undeserved favor that comes to us every time again. Throughout the centuries, throughout the whole course of world of church history, it is the Lord who comes with his grace. Yeah, we let him down time and again, forsake him, do not think of him, being unfaithful to his word. That's the sad story every time again, as we know from the pages of church history. And that guilt reaps apathy. And apathy reaps a certain death. That's our side of the story. But then the Lord our God, the Lord Jesus, every time he comes again with his grace, his faithfulness, every time again he atones his people through the blood and spirit of Christ, every time again he grants them the immeasurable powers of the Spirit to walk in his way. When the Lord builds the house, then the people get a mind to work, to be his co-workers. For that's what we are. Now, beloved, then the question is, do we have a mind to work? Here and now, in our time, in our age, work for the Lord, our Savior. Do we know ourselves to be in his service? Yeah, not one of us is affected by the terrible disease called apathy, is there? We are not part of that nominal Christendom to be Christian in name only. Or being comfortable with our status quo and people unwilling to change their patterns of behavior, unwilling therefore to support reformational activity across the line, unwilling to reform themselves and unwilling to get involved, to be an instrument in the hand of the Lord God, to reform others, those inside as well as those outside the church. Perhaps there are those who have forgotten our answer to that pious sounding lie that has come to us as a reformed church, especially since the liberation. Your teaching, your doctrine of grace makes men careless and profane. Do you know what we answer to that? Well, you'll find it in our Lord's Day 24 of our beloved Heidelberg Catechism. We answer there, and then most emphatically, by no means, that it does make us careless and profane. For it is impossible that those who are implanted, engrafted into Christ by a true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. Well then, what about it? The building of the church must continue. The Lord Jesus is working still, and so must we be. And therefore the power of the Lord must become visible in our lives. In our breaking with the past, with possible destructive patterns of behavior, with an empty, meaningless status quo religion. Faith in God, true faith in his Son, love for God and love for the neighbor, demands continuous reformation. Beloved, that's the only way. Not a day, not a moment may go by without examining ourselves in the light of Scripture to see whether we live a loving, a God-pleasing life, a life fully dedicated to his glory. Such an attitude, beloved, reflects a Christian character, expresses that we are really with it, and that in spite of our many sins and in spite of the fact that we only reach the beginning of the obedience which the Lord our God requires of us, that we are nevertheless on the way to the glory of his day. That in the first place. Secondly, we read, so we built the wall. The power of the Lord is also revealed with a view to the present. In spite of increasing opposition by Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, the work has begun. The wall was joined together to half its height. So we built the wall. And the result is there for all to see. The wall was built up to half its height all the way around. All that mocking of the enemies could not prevent it, for the people had a mind to work. There was no stopping them. Ridicule, mocking, smart, negative remarks were turned down by prayer. A your kingdom come prayer. Verse 4. Destroy the works of the devil, every power that exalts, raises itself against you, and all wicked and every conspiracy counsels conceived against your holy word. So we built the wall. But the enemies are not going to take this lying down. Other tactics are called for. Those stubborn Israelites calls for more than words, calls for drastic action. From verbal abuse, they move to physical abuse. From spiritual oppression to physical persecution. That's how it always goes, as you know. Wherever the church is at work, the opposition will move from bad to worse. And also here, the enemies make a good plan. They combine their forces and set up a planned campaign to stop the building of Jerusalem's walls. And what happens? The builders who had come in from the countryside and had to leave their wives and children behind without adequate protection, so it seems, and in the country, then they hear of the enemy's intent, and quickly they warn those country folk in the city, you better come home. And soon. Does the Lord now upset the enemy's calculations with this cry from the countryside? Or is the enemy all too happy with this development? Isn't it clear that the enemy is getting another ally, the one of fear and rumor? For you read in verse 10 that Judah has had enough. The men of Judah make it clear the strength of the burden bearers is failing. And there is too much rubbish. We are not able to work on the wall any longer. Rubbish indeed. Never before had their toil and moral been too much. Never before was the complaint about too much rubbish. We'll never get through it. But now that the wall is half finished, there is that spineless complaint. And from Judah, the tribe who had received such a special place among the people of Israel. And the complaint catches on. It seems that the enemy gets its way before it has done anything. Fear and rumor does the trick. And that's what happens when people lose sight of the power of God, forget to pray, and cease to do their God-given work. But Nehemiah is praying again. When there is a labor and prayer strike all across the line, then Nehemiah discerns the whole situation. He now sees clearly the course to follow. He calls all the men together, and after stationing armed guards at the weakest spots along the wall, he said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." That's the word the people needed. And through that word, the weak become strong, and the cowards, heroes. Enemy outside, quite happy with the confusion that they had sown, now heard that Nehemiah's sermon made their wicked plans null and void, and that the building of the wall was going to continue. With this important change, however, that a good part of the working force with one hand labored on the work and with the other held his weapon. Altogether, it was another retreat for the enemy. For the building of Jerusalem's walls must continue. Half a job just won't do. That would never satisfy the Lord God. He hates half-finished work. He demands perfection, and therefore his people, yeah, that's you and I, must keep on reaching for that perfection, as we also confess with Lord's Day 44. He demands total reformation, complete restoration, and that demands perseverance on the part of his chosen people, on the part of you and I. It's required, beloved, with a view to the future of the church, and that in the third place. Yeah, beloved, we better persevere. Otherwise, we place our life with the Lord Jesus in jeopardy. For if we keep on deliberately rejecting personal involvement in reformational activity, of church building, then there remains little assurance of our own salvation. Therefore, let us be zealous to confirm our call and election, as Peter puts it in his second letter. Let us be living members of the church and see how we can stir up one another to love and good works. Yeah, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who is promised, he is faithful, our Lord and Savior. Whoever perseveres until the end, he will be saved. The work of church building, then, may not slow down. Although the type of physical labor has changed since Nehemiah's days, there are no longer shadows, no longer brick walls. The character of the work remains the same. As God's co-workers, as members of Christ, each and every one of us, yes, we all together are called to gather, defend, and preserve the church in the unity of the true faith. That's how we built the wall. And we better have a mind to work, for we are God's chosen people. We are his living church. Now, indeed, beloved, the question is, are we? Are we alive? Are we living? Alive to our construction task? If so, then we truly form together the pillar and bulwark of the truth. But if not, then we are in a most dangerous position. For then the Lord will take away even that little still in our possession. It is a most serious concern to be called Church of the Living God. Now, what a responsibility, what a mandate. And therefore, let each one of us examine himself whether he is only in the church or also of the church, of this Christian church, this church of Jesus Christ. Yes, what does the membership of the church really mean to us? That we are recorded in the church register? That we can come to church and be able to send our children to catechism and also to a Christian Reformed school? And that we also, from time to time, receive the elders, try to answer the questions as to the fruits of the preaching that goes on from Lord's Day to Lord's Day, that they search out among us. But then our membership means no more than being a member of any given society, a religious society perhaps. No, the membership of the church, beloved, is the ABC of a true faith. The church, after all, is the body of Christ, the communion of them who are implanted, engrafted into Christ, into the fellowship of his death and resurrection. In that church, he has given us a place since our birth. He has made us a member of it and publicly demonstrated in our holy baptism. And that's why we may, and that's why we must, and that's why we are able to believe. Today, when the tensions increase, they are here now when the battle rages. Ridicule from the outside, apathy and criticism often from the inside. Too much rubbish, and I've done enough. Or, don't I come to church every Sunday, at least once? How was it that the people in Nehemiah's days began to build? How was it that before and after the days of the Reformation and the Liberation, all kinds of people began to build as one man? Because the gospel of the forgiveness of sin through the blood of Christ and his power was proclaimed, was preached. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because it was again proclaimed that God will forever remember his covenant. His covenant, not with the elect only, the purely regenerated, but with the believers and their seed, their children, their offspring. A covenant that then also consists of promises and demands. And the demand is that we must build the church. And therefore this question to us. People of God, brother and sister, father and mother, boy and girl, elders, deacons, how do we see our position in the whole of this Christian church? How do we build in the church and in the kingdom, in the worship service, in the family, in the state and society? Yes, do we build up or do we break down? That's the question. A question which everyone must answer for him or herself. For our life and the future of this church depends on it. Let us see to it that we build well for our children and for our children's children. Yes, let us build hard and build well. Gather from the outside and preserve on the inside and at all times. Motivated by love, defend and promote the name of our only Lord and Savior, the head of this church. Let us build and keep on building as long as the Lord has not called it a day yet. As long as the trumpet has not been blown to indicate that he has returned. Yes, brothers and sisters, both old and young, let us get to work in whatever position the Lord has given us. As overseers, as elders, as deacons, and as mature members of the church, until that great multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages and tongues is complete. And may it then be said of us, of all of us, so they built the church together, and they kept on building, for they had a mind to work. Amen.